one station making history every day.
My sweet home, Chicago.
Now, Bruce Wolf and Dan Proft.
89. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. The 89 WLS box office opens every Thursday, giving you a chance to win tickets to an upcoming show or event. Later today, we have your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Bodines this Saturday at the Rialto Square Theater in Joliet, courtesy of Nightlife Promotions. Tickets are on sale now at all Ticketmaster outlets or online at Ticketmaster.com. I am Dan Proft. I'm joined by Adam Kinzinger. Congressman Adam Kinzinger is sitting in for my colleague Bruce Wolf. And we are now joined by one of Adam Kinzinger's colleagues, Congressman Aaron Schock. Congressman Schock, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Dan. Good to be with you.
Good to have you. The fiscal cliff, we were discussing it a little bit earlier. Let me ask you a question about this to maybe frame the discussion a little bit. The Republican caucus in particular, the view, or could the view be, that we rather just wait to go over the fiscal cliff so that we can vote for a tax cut rather than voting before December 31st for a tax increase?
That, Dan, I think sums up the view of a minority, all but powerful portion of the Republican caucus. The overwhelming majority of the Republican House members agreed with John Boehner's Plan B, which was basically let's free the hostages before January 1. Everyone knows on January 1, taxes go up on every American. And given who's in the White House and who controls Senate, the idea that we could ensure taxes stay low for 99.5% of all American tax filers if we were able to get $1 million and below extension. At the same time, it's important to note the estate tax exemption of $10 million would have been made permanent for every household and small business in America and indexed to inflation, as well as capital gains, which are very important, not just for low-income but high-income earners. And that would have stayed at 15% for all filers below $1 million, but also locked in at 20% for even millionaires and above filers. So it wasn't a perfect bill. It wasn't a perfect proposal. But guess what? We're not going to get one with Barack Obama in the White House and Harry Reid controlling the Senate. So at the end of the day, we're going to have an imperfect proposal, whether it happens before January 1 or after January 1. And I'm of the view that certainty is extremely important to the marketplace, especially in the fragile economy.
And, Aaron, this is Adam Kinzinger. How you doing, by the way?
Good to be with you.
Yeah, you too. you know, I think the thing that people kind of forget here is 10 years ago, this tax increase that's happened at the end of the year was written into law. This was it had a sunset provision. It was written into law. And then the other thing with the Boehner Plan B, the Democrats opposed this. And, you know, they didn't come in and say that they were going to – so they don't want the million and above. They want $250,000 and above, which hits other families. Let me ask you another question, too, just because I think people are going to be wondering it. A lot of talk about the statewide run and who's going to be throwing their name in for governor. Where do you stand on all that? What's kind of your thought process right now?
Well, I think we need a new governor. And
I agree.
I think you, Adam, and Dan, and I think everyone probably in your listening audience agrees, you know, we can't continue to hemorrhage people from our state if we want to be a prosperous state. The reason that Adam had a primary this cycle was because Illinois is losing a congressional seat. Illinois has lost a congressional seat for the last three decades, which means we've consistently lost people. We are losing people at a faster rate now than any time during our modern history as a state. So what does that mean? It means because we've become a hostile place, not just to do business, but to live. And so whether I run or whether I get behind someone else, I'm not sure yet. I haven't decided. But, you know, I'm a firm believer for the same reason you and I ran for Congress. You know, you can either sit on the sidelines and complain or you can roll up your sleeves and get involved. And so I'm taking a serious look at it. But I think we have a lot of serious challenges at the federal level. I feel like I'm in a good position on the Ways and Means Committee to deal with some of this tax policy and hopefully entitlement reform. And so it's a weighty decision, but I've been getting a lot of encouragement. But we've got some other good guys looking at the field and potentially running as well. So I think we're all going to have to make a decision in the next 6 months or so about who's running and who's not. But without a doubt, we need a new governor. Our state can't continue with this kind of leadership.
Going back to the political climate and the political dialogue in D.C. and the fiscal cliff discussions, this issue of fairness, right? Obama ran his entire campaign on fairness, or to look at it more cynically, envy. And I wonder, you mentioned when in response to the first question about the estate tax and raising the exemption. Now, when you hear exemptions in the millions of dollars, people roll their eyes, oh, well, that's just for rich people. But think about this, and I wonder why Republicans don't talk about this more. The principle at stake here, which is that you accumulate over a life through hard work while paying taxes, these resources to give to the next generation, to your children or to whoever you want, to charities. And the idea that the government comes after you after the, to the grave, I think is an anathema to people who, if they understood it in those terms rather than just kind of the antiseptic estate tax, would see that as unfair. Republicans, it seems to me, don't make a good case about the unfairness of Democrat proposals.
Dan, you make an excellent point. Seriously, let me give you a couple facts. Number one, we as a society every year spend more dollars to evade the estate tax than the federal government on the annualized period collects in the estate tax. So truth fact number one, is that the people who get hit with the estate tax most often are people who die young and unexpected and whose families have not properly prepared to circumvent it, number one. Number two, the real question here is, who's a better creator of jobs and economic growth? If you believe that it's the federal government, then why not take half of someone's accumulated wealth throughout their life and give it to the federal treasury? If you believe it's the private sector, then those dollars are better staying in the private sector and continuing to grow. Third point is, oftentimes this isn't just a pot of gold sitting in someone's basement that's either handed off to the next kid or given half to the government. Oftentimes it's a small business, a going concern. It could be a family farm in my central Illinois district where they have a couple of 1,000 acres that they've been farming for multiple generations. And so the real question is, what happens when they have to sell half of the family farm to pay the estate taxes? Well, the only person who can buy that half of the farm is someone who has more wealth. Who can afford to buy a small family business because they have to sell it to pay the estate taxes, but someone who has a bigger business? So it actually forces a greater concentration of wealth in our country and is less fair as an economic policy. Besides, I, like you, do not think that death should be a taxable event.
There you go. Congressman Schock, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Aaron.
Appreciate it. Adam Kinzinger, Dan Proft, and now it's time for traffic and weather with Abby Ray.
89 WLS.